Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says that Gastineau played for the Jets, not Giants. I think we said Giants. Who cares? Bad football is played above the Mason-Dixon line. Everything south of it's where the good stuff is at. Sorry, Blinkers. Yeah, another texter saying that Evans apparently tied Jerry Rice's record for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I know that Rice has 14 over his career, so those weren't consecutive. Rice has the all-time record for the most 1,000-yard seasons, 14. But the record for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, Mike Evans has now tied it. That makes me more mad. I'm ticked off even more now. Like, Jerry Rice, look, Mike Evans, Hall of Fame career, I love Mike Evans. Like, Galveston, great charitable guy, great season, you know, to where he went to college, up for interpretation. He's really good, really good. Is he in the same league as Jerry Rice? No. And he was gifted something in yesterday's game that tied him with Jerry Rice for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. It makes me sick. It really does.
I researched the Strahan play.
Yeah.
Late fourth, Packers up 9. Favre called a running play in the huddle. At the line of scrimmage, he audibled to a naked bootleg, rolled out, fell down. Strahan tapped him, and he handed Strahan the ball to congratulate him.
Yeah. That's I remember the play awful.
That is awful.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. That's what happened to Mike Evans yesterday. Almost the same exact thing. And it's criminal. It's criminal for Jerry Rice. It's criminal for the owners having to pay him $3 million they should have had to pay. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. David, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going, Jeremy?
Awesome.
Joel, y'all doing all right?
Good, man.
Hey, I mean, I understand your argument. I'm not really necessarily for or against it, but, like, your initial stance was that it was the wussification of football, and you were comparing it to Greg Williams and the Saints and the whole bounty thing. But that was between what happened yesterday and the Strahan Favre thing. So it's not like an era thing. It's more of a recency bias.
Well,
I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion either way, but you can't use the Greg Williams era.
Here's where I'm coming with this, David, is that Greg Williams, in my mind, wouldn't allow a gimmicky 1,000-yard season. Greg Williams, who is a football hardo, would not be too pleased with Tampa Bay throwing the ball up by two possessions with 40 seconds left when they should be putting it on a knee. So I think that's the wussification part that I'm trying to make, is I think there's a lot of old-school dudes that even if there was a $3 million bonus attached to it, that would have went headhunting in a different era.
Yeah, I think how do you know that this stuff wasn't going on in the 70s and 80s at the last? No, some of those games weren't televised. We have no idea what these
were
like back then. I don't, but
there
you can't sit there and say, well, that era of Greg Williams wouldn't allow that to happen.
I don't think he would.
That's a garbage argument.
I think that we disagree. I think, to me, Greg Williams would have been upset by that situation. I think that there are old school players who would have been upset by that. I think Bill Romanowski would have led with the crown of his helmet, drilled Mike Evans to the ground, and then spit in his face. I think Ronnie Lott would have broken his pinky in half trying to make sure Mike Evans did not make that catch. So we can agree to disagree, but you're saying that I don't have proof of it. Neither do you. So how can either one of us be right?
No, what I'm saying is I know there are players out there that would never allow it to happen. Like Mark Gastineau's a perfect example. What I'm saying is that there are players probably even in the 80s and 90s and going far back as 2001 with Favre and Strahan that were probably for it and some that were against it. It's
maybe
not like the whole get off my lawn thing or wave my fist at the cloud. It's more of like it was I don't think it's – I think there are even players today who are probably like, man, that's kind of cheap or Bush League.
Yeah.
That thought that yesterday as far as Mike Evans getting that record, but it's I don't think it's that much of a change than what you had back in the 90s or 80s with those players.
Out of 10 people, it's well argued, David. Out of 10 players back in the 70s and 80s, how many do you think would be upset versus now?
Oh, God. Way more back then than now. Like I said, I think now the Players Association is a stronger union than the logo you wear on your helmet. And so I think that that's why there's a lot of guys that probably across the league and maybe even across the line of scrimmage that were like, give them credit, because a lot of teams would have, you know, been the cheap route. I give them credit for doing that for him, and they would be okay with it. But back in the day, like you mentioned Greg Williams, Buddy Ryan would have lost his freaking mind.
Yeah, and look, I think that David's argument is a good one. Like, they're probably – David, are you still there, David? Like, out of 10 defensive players back in that era versus now, what do you think the difference would be?
Well, I do agree that it has shifted to the more favorable player thing where they go, let them have it. I understand that we have generation changes in the way emotions are put on the field and the way those players were back then. And with Romanowski and Buddy Ryan. But I do think it's not, the gap isn't as far as you think that it's a wussification. I think it's just more of a, there are some people that are probably upset about what happened yesterday. They just don't say it as much.
Maybe so. Appreciate the call, David. But I've seen this stuff celebrated way more in the last 5 years. Way more in the last five. We didn't know that player incentives existed 10 years ago. And now it's like, well, he needs this. They're openly talking about it on the sideline. Brady, I called a play to get to Gronk. Jameis Winston, going rogue, changing a pass play to or a run play to a pass play. Like, it's... And to David's point, I think a lot of it is now, like, we're all football players. We're all in this together. We're like, back 20 years ago, it was, we're not really on the same team. And I'm going to knock your brains in. Like, I'm going to hit you as hard as I possibly can.
This goes as deep as, like, even the jersey exchanges and that stuff. And the Kevin, you know, where the Kevin Garnett used to be so upset about it in basketball. But in football, you would never see, like, in big rivalry games and like, team versus team things, that after the game it was this love fest and jersey exchanges. And, you know, it was, like, blood, sweat, and tears. Leave it all on the field. And if they beat us, you're so ticked off, you go right to the locker room and screw them. You might not even shake hands. And now it's different in that regard, too.
Yeah. The texture, it's a brotherhood like a fraternity. This sums it up pretty good, because I agree with this. He goes, it's a brotherhood like a fraternity. If you don't want your brother to eat prosper, that ain't cool, bro. I do think it has turned into that. But I think 20 years ago, Bill Romanowski looked at his brotherhood and his fraternity as his teammates, and then everybody outside of that locker room were guys that were trying to not let him prosper, and he was going to go out and destroy those people. That's where it changed. Like, now it's like, oh, we're all in this together no matter what football team you're on. That wasn't the case 20 years ago for the most part.
No, and a lot of it's because of the money. Because of the fact that you weren't going to see these outrageous bonuses that are going to be tagged on to contracts back in those eras and when those guys were playing. Now, the money has changed it, and because we all talk about the fact that, hey, you want it to be a loyalty thing, but it's a business, and we constantly hear that. And as part of the business, the players are more unified than ever, like that fraternity I was talking about with the Players Association. And it's just a logo on their helmet and someone that signs their paycheck, whereas they're more loyal to the brotherhood of the players.
Apparently, Josh Allen took a snap yesterday to continue his game streak, too.
Did he really? I missed that one.
Yeah, he took one snap to continue his streak. Yeah. That one's a little different because at least he's not throwing the ball on a team late in the game, you know? Like, it is a sanctity. It does spit in the face of the sanctity of a record, right? Like, you're taking one snap and you're, you know, handing it off probably, and then you're leaving the game.
Yeah.
That's gimmicky. That is gimmicky. If he were to break like the all-time record for games played in a row or whatever he's trying to chase, that would be gimmicky. I would not too be pleased with that. But if Mike Evans has a 1,000-yard season next year and he breaks Jerry Rice's record, it should have an asterisk next to it. Like, it should have never been there.
I honestly, I don't disagree with you, because it's kind of a bush way to get it, but we've just gotten so accustomed to seeing it across all the different sports. And to the point on Josh Allen, the one thing that's a detriment more so than, because it is kind of a streak, but it's not the kind of records we're talking about. But it's like, you know who really gets screwed there is the fans that, if it was a road game, but whoever came to see Josh Allen thinking that when they got their tickets, we're going to see Josh Allen and we're spending money to see Josh Allen, and he comes out for one play and he's done. That's tough too, but it's not because I think it's expected because it's the last game of the
season. Yeah, I think you buy a Week 17 ticket for a good team, you have to consider that as a possibility.
That's more prevalent, like in basketball, when guys sit just to get rest, and you know,
yeah,
they're on the road, and people, you're like, God, that was our only chance. We only bought the tickets to see so-and-so, and they're not playing because they're resting.
It's like a bad beat is
yep,
what that
yep,
is.
Yep.
D'Amico Ryans, do you think that he and the rest of this coaching staff lead a well-coached team?
For the most part, I do. I don't think that, you know, in the past we saw guys that kind of swayed away or like they were quiet till the end of the season and they were, you know, kind of against the ways and the coaching techniques. I think that D'Amico has control of the locker room. I think that, you know, he's got a buy-in from his locker room. Could there be things that they could work on and improve on? Absolutely. And I think that's what happens when you have a first-time head coach with a first-time offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I think that there's still things that need to be cleaned up and polished, but for the most part, I do.
Yeah, I for the most part, I do too. And this has nothing to do with yesterday's game, but D'Amico, this was from last week where D'Amico Ryans was talking about like players executing. It kind of caught my ear. Here's what D'Amico had to say.
And I know it's like a broken record, but it goes back to the fundamentals of the game. Like, can we sustain a block and finish a block? And now we got a crease, right? Can we be at the proper depth on our route? Can we execute it the right way? Can we be more firm in protection? Can we have our eyes right defensively? Like, can we fit the run the proper way, understanding the block recognition that we're getting? So all of those things is just, it's football. Yeah. Right. If I step back and as I reviewed the game and I kept going through it, it's just for me, it's like, are we doing football the right way?
Right.
And that just goes back to, are my eyes right? Do I know, knowing what to do, knowing how to do it, and then getting it done? So that's a lot of like what I talk about with execution after the game. Like, that's what it comes down to.
All right. So this was going into this past week's game. So that's week 17. And there's a lot of nuance there, right? Like, okay, we need leverage here. We need to be at the proper depth. Our eyes have to be here. Shouldn't you have that executed by week 17?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't you have coached your team up to the point where this late in the year they are doing those things? Because I like D'Amico a lot. I think he's a good defensive coach. I think he has some game management issues, but I think he's built an excellent culture, and the culture and the leadership are the things that I want the most from a head coach. I just hear that, I'm like, well, why aren't they there, D'Amico? It's week 17. Like, why isn't the guy running a route at a proper depth? Why is this guy getting inside leverage, not outside leverage? Why has this been allowed to go on up until week 17? So I hear that, and I'm like, that kind of raises an eyebrow to me.
No, and it's fair to have that kind of alert or concern because of the fact that I was harping on when the offensive line had so many issues. And it's like, okay, well, when they talk about, well, we've got to get better continuity, or, you know, the fact that when we were going through all the penalties for the misalignments and the false starts, it was to a lesser degree, but as it relates to coaching and the offensive line coaching and then just working these things out, there is that consistency throughout. Because I'm with you. I like D'Amico Ryans a lot. I think he's the right guy for the job. I think he's done a hell of a job to get them where they are, regardless of what the playoff outcomes are from where they came from. But at the same time, the mistakes are going to happen. They're not a finished product as coaches either. And I think that's the frustration, to bring it back to how we started the show. Because of the fact that you know that there's a ton of talent and there's a ton of ability and this team could do a lot of it is because of the fact that they just aren't as polished as they maybe should be or could be, that we can point the finger and go, yeah, I think that's on coaching too.
Like, if they're not in the right spots in week 17 of the year, is that on the staff or is that on the player?
I think a lot of it, Jeremy, depends on like who the players are. If they've been there all year, it's different than if it's a Deontay Johnson or a guy they added late in the year, like a Zach Thomas on the line or guys like that. It might be a little easier to understand, but you're right. I mean, overall, if you're being coached up every day at practice, yeah, week 17 is a tough time to be figuring figuring things out.
Yeah, I didn't love that. I didn't love that soundbite of, well, these guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Well, it's week 17. Like, it's week 17 of the year. That might fall on you a little bit. Texter says, yes, D'Amico is the right. And look, I think D'Amico is the right coach, too. Let's be very clear. Don't get what I'm saying twisted here. Let's not trip. Yes, D'Amico is the right coach. He motivates and gets the best effort out of his players. That's a leader. I agree with those. X's and O's are one thing, but you need a leader of men to push them over the top. I think we underrate that, actually. Dan Campbell is a similar coach. He just needs the right players. Whenever I say I think we underrate that, I think that owners underrate that when they search for a head coach. Like, everybody's looking for these X's and O's gurus, and I think that we underappreciate the leader of men. Another texter, he's a young coach. He's getting there, but he was a successful leader on the field, and it's very realistic to assume he'll do the same as a coach. And look, he's won two division titles in his first 2 years. He took over an organization that won 11 games in 3 years and has back-to-back division championships. It's not a criticism. I mean, I guess it is criticism on D'Amico, but it's kind of like a part criticism. Like, I like what he's doing. It's just like, D'Amico, maybe it's a little bit more coaching than this execution that you're talking about whenever these guys aren't doing these little things in week 17 that they can be coached to do.
Yeah, it's a little thing as opposed to, like, a bigger thing. Like, in Indianapolis, you've got a locker room running amok. You've got, you know, players and issues with, you know, being late to meetings, all that stuff. I think that's the biggest, larger scale version of this. This is, hey, you've done a great job. You've probably overachieved and exceeded expectations to this point 2 years in, but there's still work to be done, and there's ways that you can clean it up more and polish it more.
Yep. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Another texture, if D'Amico's a leader of men, then why have there been multiple player-only meetings? I think it's a fair thing to point out. Yeah. I think that player-only meetings happen, like, everywhere, though.
They do, and I think that sometimes the only way to solve certain problems, especially when it's kind of like either personality driven or think that sometimes there's things and times when the coaches can't solve everything. And sometimes the player can be the voice of reality to another player to do what a coach either can't or won't do to try and fix a problem.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. NFL Black Monday. What has happened today? What do you need to know? Do any of these fired coaches interest you in Houston? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Black Monday. In the NFL, coaches getting fired, coaches not getting fired. Some surprise coaches have kept their job. Start in New England, Blankers. The firing of Gerard Mayo. I love this, but I also hate this. Which one do you want first, the love or the hate?
Why do you hate this?
I figured you would start there because that's usually your prevailing feeling between the two.
No blame, man.
I'm teasing. The reason that I hate this is because Robert Kraft was very eager to get rid of the greatest coaching resume of all time because he wanted Gerard Mayo so bad. He wanted Gerard Mayo so badly to be his head coach that he ran off the greatest coaching resume that has ever existed in the NFL. Kraft has even talked about how he was scared when Mayo was interviewing with other teams because he didn't want to lose them. He wanted them so bad. He's basically been the head coach and waiting there for half a decade without the actual writing in the contract. And then all of a sudden, he's gone in a year. So that's the reason that I hate it. I feel like Bill Belichick would still have been the head coach in New England if Gerard Mayo wasn't there and Robert Kraft fell in love with him. So that part of it's where I don't like it. The part where I love it is that an owner, even though his love for a guy, he doesn't allow that to carry greater than a year. Like, you're not letting a problem continue to be a problem. Like, yes, you might love Gerard Mayo. Yes, you might have did all those things that I mentioned. Like, you chase off Bill Belichick. All of those things. But after 365 days, you're like, you know what? I made a bad decision. That was not very smart. And there's a lot of owners. There's a lot of owners with ego who would be unwilling to make the change because of what it meant by bringing that guy on that would continue to employ Gerard Mayo. So I applaud Robert Kraft for admitting a mistake and moving on.
Yeah, I think that this is big picture. This was the right move for the Patriots because when you look at what Mayo did in a year's time, the fact was he was contradicting himself. He was making statements at press conferences. He had to walk back the next day. There were, you know, he was taking shots at players in press conferences. There was a lot behind the scenes that you heard of to where he might not have been ready yet to be a head coach. It's weird that Kraft basically did at the end, I think, put in writing that he was coach in waiting. But I also think that owners at a certain point, no matter, especially after they've had the success the Patriots have had, it's the same reason why when we heard the Brady Belichick and, you know, who got the credit and who deserves more credit and all the back and forth that ended up breaking up all of that, that at a certain point, owners too have as much as we talked about even with Jim Crane, it is their fantasy football or baseball team, as the case may be, and they do have a sense of power with it. When they feel like Belichick was getting all the credit and he basically thought, people thought he had all the power, the owner takes the power back and says at a certain point, it's still my team to do my way. I just give him credit, like you said, for the fact that a lot of owners would ride it out, saying if this was the guy that I handpicked, then I'm going to ride it out and give him more than a year to make sure that I look like I made the right decision. He did the press conference yesterday where he took full ownership and said, this is on me. I didn't do this right. We're going to do it right this time. Now I got to find the right guy for the job.
Yeah, so that's the part of that I love it. And I would want an owner to be that way, right? Like, admit the mistake and correct the mistake, right? Like Jim Crane, oh, you know, we let Jeff Bagwell run the organization for a few months.
Jeff Bagwell. I love the Killer Bees at 97.5.
And we love them right back. You know, let him run the organization for a few months amok, and you're still feeling the ramifications negatively of allowing that hopefully you read that, like, okay, that was a bad decision. Let's let Dana Brown have full control. I hope that's what's going on. So Kraft, I don't love how he got to the decision of Jerod Mayo, but I do like the fact that he realized an error and try to correct the error. And I also think it's because some of the candidates that are out there. Like, if he feels like he can bring in Mike Vrabel, which he could have done last year, but if he feels like he can bring in Mike Vrabel, they've requested an interview with Ben Johnson. If he feels like he can get one of those two guys, well, you're upgrading a position within your organization.
I just don't think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just don't think that there's anybody other than Mike Vrabel that's going to get this job. And the reason why Kraft did what he did was because he got the wrong linebacker, because Vrabel's the guy that literally just screams and oozes Patriot, and this seems to be the ultimate no-brainer. If Vrabel's not available, do I think that maybe they try one more year of Mayo? Yeah, I do. But it's also a really bad look because of the fact that, yet it's another black coach that's eliminated after 1 year from his job, when you see what happened with Houston and the fact that they went through Lovey and Culley, and you know that you're going to hear a whole lot of outcry. The Patriots are going to take a ton of heat because of that.
The Vrabel was out there last year, though.
Yeah, but he had already had it in writing that Mayo was the heir apparent. Now the fact that it went south and Vrabel's still available, I think that that's why he did what he did.
Did he have it in writing?
I've heard that he did.
I thought it was more of like a handshake gentleman deal.
I
don't know if you can put that in writing.
You and I were talking about this one day, and I had just seen, I don't know if it was a doc or if it was an interview or something, where I was watching something that said it basically that Kraft basically put it in writing that
that's a little different.
Well, but I'll have to try and find where I saw it, but I believe that Kraft actually did put it in writing that Mayo was coach in waiting.
Huh? Yeah, I wonder if that. I don't know if that's allowed, but if it is, I'm not sure. I'm not real sure. That's why I'm asking.
I just thought. I almost,
I know. I mean, it was all but done, right? It was definitely a handshake agreement at minimum. Yeah. Now, if I'm Robert Kraft and I had, you know, this takes two to tango, but if Ben Johnson was interested because I have Drake May,
yeah, that's
sorry, Vrabel. I'm sorry. I know that you mean a lot to New England. I know you caught a lot of touchdown passes as a defensive player here and won a lot of Lombardies, but I'm going to go with Ben Johnson over Vrabel. Now, how much will Ben Johnson be interested in that job? I don't know. Ben Johnson's interesting in this whole deal, though, because, like, he wants ties to ownership, so like, or to the general manager. So there was thoughts that he was going to go to Jacksonville, but then they keep Trent Baalke, which, like, what are you doing, Con? So where do you think Johnson goes?
This is what's more interesting is the way he's handled it in the past is now what we're hearing, what I'm hearing today, what I've heard and read is that he's handling it differently, that he likes the fact that his name has been connected to two places where the quarterback is already in place that he can do something with in Chicago with Caleb Williams, in New England with Drake May, to where that's more. And also maybe because of the fact that he knows after turning jobs down for the last 2 years that teams are a little less overwhelmingly in favor of going after him the way they were in the past because they're a little leery of the fact that he might leave them on the altar. So that I think it's interesting that maybe he's changed his ways a little bit and teams know that, hey, if I'm going to go get – if Ben Johnson's going to be interested in me, I got to have a quarterback.
Yeah, that's going to be – it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. Doug Peterson sacked, which we thought this was coming like in week six. So no surprise there. The big surprise is they kept Trent Baalke. But then Khan today saying that the new coach is not going to answer to the general manager. He's going to answer to the owner, which doesn't seem like a great dynamic at all. I think Jacksonville would be pretty interesting for a coaching candidate. I would have intrigue if I were a top candidate in Jacksonville if they got rid of Trent Baalke. Like, if I got to handpick my general manager, I get Trevor Lawrence, who is a talented quarterback. I have $40 million in cap space. They have some good pieces. I would be super interested in Jacksonville, but not if you're keeping Trent Baalke.
Yeah, that's the thing. Baalke's been – he's had this reputation in what was it, San Francisco before this, to where there was he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. If you're going to do this, especially because you've already signed Lawrence to the monster deal that he is going to be your franchise quarterback, then go out and clean slate everything. Get a clean – if you want to go and bring in a duo of guys that have worked together, like we're talking about, if like there's a connection to a Ben Johnson type that feels comfortable with a general manager that he's worked with in the past or whatever, then go do that. But if you're going to go out and get rid of a Peterson who was known as an offensive guy, then go out and find a combo platter of new GM, new coach, fresh start, and give everybody – kind of a cleansing that says, okay, that's all behind us. Let's try and do this whole thing the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, I would move on from Baalke. That one to me makes no sense whatsoever. And then the Giants are keeping Daboll and Shane. I thought they would get rid of at least one. I would have gotten rid of both. I find it hard to believe they're keeping both of them there.
Yeah, I think that based on Hard Knocks alone, I thought that they were going to make a change at GM, but the writing on the wall on this one is that they got a lot of good draft picks that they thought they got right, so the GM lives to see another day. From a Daboll perspective, I think he's a good offensive coach. I think he's a good coach, and he got the accolades for being a good coach by overachieving the year prior. I thought he was going to survive all of this because of the Daniel Jones mess and the fact that the organization let Saquon get away. But I also could have seen, with as bad as the Giants are, just like I said about Jacksonville, if you're going to make a change, then clean house, get rid of both, start fresh, because Mara has already said that, you know, he's out of being, you know, forgiving owner with, you know, a bigger picture. He wants it now. Then start with getting both guys if you're going to clear house. But if you're not, I was surprised the GM survived. I thought Daboll would get a chance with a different quarterback.
Here's the super weird thing about the Giants, because you mentioned it right there, Joel. It feels like Daboll's getting a second chance because he's basically having the excuse of Daniel Jones is terrible. Yeah. We want to see what happens when you actually have a quarterback that could play worth a damn. Well, it was the GM who decided to give him the money and stick Daboll with that quarterback. So you would figure if the excuse is, well, Daniel Jones sucks, so Daboll, let's see what you do with a different quarterback, then why are you keeping the GM who decided to pay Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley, who obviously went off and had 2,000 yards for your division rival?
I think that's twofold.
It makes
sense. If one, you decided to give Jones the contract, two, you decided to walk away from Saquon, both those guys, you know,
those are two
huge misses. Yeah.
Yeah,
makes
it's pretty
sense.
Weird. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Jeremy, I Googled it, and it says Kraft felt strongly enough about Mayo's skills as a leader to sign him to a contract as head coach in waiting prior to Belichick's departure.
Yeah, he handled it wrong then.
Yeah, he sure did.
He should have kept Belichick. Should have just kept Belichick there. And then what is Jerry Jones doing? What is he doing?
I mean, it's so ridiculous, but it's so Cowboys, and it's like we were talking about. When you're the owner of the team, if you're Woody Johnson, you can go on Madden ratings. You can let your teenage kid make decisions. If you're, you know, Dan Snyder prior to him, you can tell your whole scouting staff on draft day, I don't care all the work you did, I'm taking the quarterback I want. If you're Jerry Jones, he basically came out and said it. He's not going to give up the general manager title because it's his team. So if he all of a sudden decides Mike McCarthy's a guy that should stay, as bad of a decision as that is, when you own the team, you can do whatever the hell you want, and that's what Jerry's doing right now.
It's just so weird that, like, these teams that have had coaches that were on the hot seat, they've said, we're bringing back these coaches, or they've made this move, but Jerry Jones hasn't said anything. And Mike McCarthy is on the final year of his deal, right? Like, his contract's up.
He can walk away. The Bears, just before we came on the air, requested permission to interview Mike McCarthy for their head coaching job. Like, go ahead, do that, Chicago, because that would be a fantastic move as a Packer fan.
Yeah, so his contract expires. No, his contract expires on the 14th.
Yep.
So why would they have to seek permission just to
do it now?
Just to
do it before the contract expires.
Yeah, I mean, because of the 14th.
I mean, it's Mike McCarthy. I mean, what's the rush?
Do you think that that's like McCarthy's agent getting a salad from the Bears just to try and... Because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to hire Mike McCarthy, I guess there's reasons you could give for that. I mean, obviously, the three straight 12-win seasons, the Super Bowl in Green Bay. But, man, it doesn't feel like there's a rush on Mike McCarthy mm-hmm. right now. You could have just waited to the 14th.
Yeah, and Schefter was saying, unlike in seasons past, he doesn't think that there's going to be, he said maybe one, but he doesn't think that there'll be a head coach hired before the divisional round games are over in the playoffs.
Weird stuff.
So, yeah,
there,
why rush?
Jerry Jones. It's about consistency, says a texter. The Giants are erring with the path to keep the leadership in place to see how it shakes out. If it fails next year, they will clean house. Yeah, I think we get that. It's just, do we feel like it's a year too late? Like, should they be doing it now?
Look, Jeremy, we were just talking about this as it relates to the Texans, but in terms of leader of men and leadership in the locker room, your two best players in Dallas and in New York have come out and taken pot shots at the coaches. I mean, Neighbors was doing it with Dable and with, regardless of who was coaching, who was quarterbacking the team, he was like, it's deeper than that. And Parsons did the same thing with McCarthy, though he kind of walked that back today, saying, the fact that, we won 12 games and we lost our starting quarterback, what Mike's done has been great. Well, you already, ran the bus over him about 4 weeks ago, but now you're going to walk it back.
Yeah, I feel like Neighbors just might be the kind of guy that always throws his coach under the bus.
Yeah.
All right, Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. What questions do you have for us? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Killer Bees?
Yeah, what's up, guys? So my question for y'all is, I'm going to name y'all 9 players. Give me y'all starting 5. Kobe, KD, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Curry, Bird, Magic, Hakeem, and Shaq.
Say those again. Say them again, Pena. Kobe, okay. KD.
That's Kobe, KD, LeBron, Bird, Magic, Jordan, Curry, Hakeem, and Shaq.
Okay. Appreciate it. You can hang up now.
I hate this because, you got to have them all in front of you because my buddies.
I didn't keep track of the 9.
Yeah, my buddies
did
this whole
out.
Chat thing this weekend with the pyramid of, tiers and who belongs on what tiers of all the Hall of Famers, too. To me, I think Jordan's the greatest player to ever play the game. I don't care about position. I'm going to go positionless. But if I start Kobe and Jordan in the backcourt, to me, the fact is Dream is going to be either my center or my power forward. Those three are locked in stone in terms of just positionless. I need a small forward and I need a center. If I take the most dominant center ever, I think, in terms of size and physicality in Shaq, I'm going to take Shaq as my center. Dream is my power forward. Kobe, MJ, and Bird or LeBron as my small forward, and I'm fine. I'll take Bird.
No love for the new age, huh?
I think LeBron is kind of like one of – look, the stats alone, unbelievable. But do I think that Bird was a more gifted overall player? I do.
I'm going to go LeBron, Jordan, Bird, Hakeem, Shaq. So pretty similar. The only difference we have is LeBron and...
You left Kobe out, right?
Kobe. I did, yeah. I don't think that I need Kobe because I have Jordan.
Man, I'm talking about both ends of the floor and with ball handling and killer instinct skills. If those two guys are in my backcourt, I'm great.
Yeah, but I don't really need two guys with a killer instinct late in the game. I'm going to Jordan.
You can never have enough of that.
Kobe's going to be unhappy. He's going to be unhappy with Michael. You're going to lead to team dissent. They're not going to be happy with each other. Bad chemistry. Bad chemistry on your team, Blankers.
Or there's just no way to defend him. And if you try to double
him, I think I can defend him right there. Well, I think my team can defend him very nicely. I'm going LeBron. LeBron's just going to run point for me. He creates all sorts of mismatch problems.
Okay, and I'm going to press you in the backcourt and see.
LeBron has trouble with the press?
Yes, he does.
No, LeBron ain't going to have any issues.
Ball handling?
Oh, come on. LeBron at 6'8" is going to have trouble, beating off your little guards.
Whoa. I don't know what he's phrasing. Doing. But, I'm gonna have Kobe and Jordan hounding him three quarters court and tell me he's gonna handle the ball well. I don't think so.
Well, I have four other guys that he can see over them and pass the ball ahead. Yeah, they're gonna pressure him. He's gonna pick up the basketball and hold it up high above his head above the other two and pass the ball up front. And now I have a 4-on-3 fast break.
Good luck.
Yeah, my team's winning.
Okay.
LeBron, Jordan, Bird, Akeem Shaq is going to be Kobe, Jordan, Bird, Akeem Shaq. Four bits of our team is the exact same. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron's better than Kobe. You don't think so?
I do not.
Okay. I agree to disagree there. 713-780-ESPN. What are your questions for the Bees? Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Austin, you're in the Hive. What's your question for the Bees?
Yeah, what should the Saints do with Darren Rizzi? Keep him or move on?
To me, Jeremy, it's easy. I'm moving on. Look, I think that Rizzi's done a nice job kind of keeping the ship afloat as they bridge the gap to the next coach. But you need more than a special teams coordinator as your next head coach. You need a guy that's going to be everything we've talked about with D'Amico, and depending on where they go with their quarterback, if they try and stick with Rattler or they're going to go a totally different direction. I just think that that's an organization that needs another clean slate reboot.
You don't think you can be a special teams coach and win in the NFL?
You can. Harbaugh did it, and so did Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin was a defensive backs coach. I just think in this specific situation with New Orleans and what they're working with, I think they need a complete fresh start reboot, and I think that he could still be on staff if he wants to be. I just don't think he's the right guy for the job.
No, I would move on too. I just feel like you took a cheap shot at special team coaches.
Cool. I mean, look, and I know Harbaugh was a special teams coach before he got the Ravens job, and he's done phenomenal.
Yeah,
but so was the guy, what was it, Tomasula in San Francisco, and they gave him the head job, and he was terrible. And then Bisaccia got the Raiders interim job. Everybody was wanting him to get the job, but he didn't get it.
More questions from the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Here's a question. Do y'all like Aldi's?
I don't mind it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's
I'm fine. Indifferent if it's there. Okay.
How I feel about it. There is another part of that question that I'm not going to read.
Okay.
713-780-3776. Do y'all think NIL deals will someday create similar incentive situations like we see now in the NFL?
I think we're heading that way if there isn't some more guidelines put on everything. I think that the free agency that's hitting college sports with the money that's being thrown around and the transfer portal, I think that we're inevitably going to see probably unless the NCAA has a way to kibosh it, I think that we could head that direction real easily.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out something with contracts. Like you're having players suing coaches for not agreeing, like getting their verbal agreement actually fulfilled. So like to me, it's going to come down to contracts. I think you're going to see a labor union. I think you're going to see CBAs. I think it's going to be pro sports pretty soon.
Yeah,
and
messy.
A lot of messiness to get to that point. You're right. Yep. Are you a water snob? Like, are you paying for Fiji or Voss?
No, I drink the water machine that we have here every day. I mean, I realized whichever bottled water is actually not anything more than
that's Dasani.
Dasani?
Yeah, Dasani's gross.
I'm not big into like vitamin water and all that other stuff. But
vitamin water is like juice.
Yeah, vitamin water is juice. It's
no,
not
what's
it.
The,
it's like Gatorade. The,
we've had this conversation before. I don't remember which one you're thinking of, but it's not vitamin water.
No,
okay, well, there's
water.
The one in the really tall, lean bottle that's something water that's supposed to be water plus vitamins and stuff. I don't need all that.
No, I'm not a water snob. I grew up drinking out of the faucet.
Like, oh, the garden hose.
Yeah, the garden hose, the faucet.
I'm a dog.
The spigot, whatever it takes. If it's wet, it's for me. When will George?
Hey, phrasing.
When will Joe George pay y'all back from that bet from last year? It's not looking good.
It is not.
It's not looking good. It's been over a calendar year, and all he's doing is gaslighting us by saying we're complaining about him not paying up. We'll stop. Pay up. We'll stop complaining about you not paying up.
That's right.
It's quite simple. Will Joy Taylor ever recover from her current scandal?
She was on the show, that show today.
It was weird to see both of them on their respective
shows. She was on the
shows.
Air today.
Yeah, but she was on her show, and then it was Who's a Man Monday? I was like, ooh, not the day to ask that question. But
well, she might be the person to weigh in on
maybe,
that topic.
Yeah, but I mean, I think she'll – oh, it's by the way, it's smart water, not vitamin water.
There you go.
I – I think that she's either going to get a ton of attention and like Carissa Thompson and others that can turn this into an uptick for their career, or she's going to have to fade away. I think she'll probably survive it.
I have an issue with this whole deal.
Okay.
Why are we acting like an allegation's already gospel?
Well, I mean, it's fair to ask the question. Right. I mean, sometimes we always say the truth comes out somewhere in the middle from the allegation, but it's because it's court documents and it's so many different people being.
It's an allegation.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my popcorn, sit back,
enjoy
the story, and withhold my judgment until I have all of the information. Like, we go back to the Duke lacrosse thing. Like, they canceled a season and labeled those Duke guys rapists, and it turned out the whole thing was a complete myth. Like, let's see the whole story. Like, sure, the allegations are juicy and they're scandalous and everybody loves the drama. I'm going to hold back and reserve judgment until I get all of the information.
I think
I hear the other side of the story as well.
I think that's fair. I'm just enjoying it all unfold because there's the Skip Bayless aspect of it. There's the Sam Macho and the Joy Taylor, and you know, and now they're saying that Shannon Sharp was directly related to your head. Was part of the reason why all this came to light. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. But I'll listen to the other views, too. Keith from L.A., who wins the Super Bowl first? Raiders, Niners, Cowboys, all three fan bases still glory in the old days.
I'll take Niners.
Yeah, it seems like the easy answer, doesn't it?
Yeah, one of them has Kyle Shanahan as their coach.
Exactly.
I'll take that.
And they still have plenty of talent on the roster.
Yeah, I wonder what they do this offseason. It's going to be interesting.
But if you still have Christian McCaffrey and Bosa, and regardless of Purdy's done a pretty damn good job, depending on what they do with him, but there's still so much talent. Fred Warner, there's so much talent on that team.
Would you pay Purdy $50 million a year? I mean, that's probably what he's going to get.
I know it. With
minimum.
I was thinking they're going to probably come at him with 40 on a short deal.
He's not going to do that.
Yeah, is he going to get more elsewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But do you think that that Kyle Shanahan could easily replace him with somebody else?
Easily is tough to say. Like, he also drafted Trey Lance. So, like.
Yeah. Was that him and Lynch? Was that him?
Kirk Cousins got 62 from the Falcons. That's insane.
Yeah, I think that Darnold's going to get paid, too, and he's had one breakout year.
57 cap number, but I think the cuts or whatever. They give it a 62.
I could see Shanahan and his ego and his belief in his system and his coaching say that I could get someone else to do what Brock Purdy does.
What if it's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it's either Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold, who was just there.
I mean, is he wrong, though? Because he got Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy both within a few plays from winning a Super Bowl each.
That's why I think it's going to be so interesting with just those two guys that no matter the – doesn't matter that their contracts are up, but Purdy and Darnold, I think, are going to be the one where teams draw their line in the sand and say that they're not going to pay top dollar for those two guys.
How about your best all-time Euro NBA players? That's tough without sitting down and doing this.
Dirk, Luka, Sabonis in his prime, but Sabonis was really good in the NBA without being in his prime.
I mean, Giannis, obviously, in the conversation.
Yeah, Giannis is in that conversation.
I wish you would have said international, not European.
That's true. That's a Lance and John debate for the ages that never ends. About, like, European versus, like, is Dirk white or is he European?
Oh, okay.
God, they get into that.
That's a little bit different, though, because, like, I wanted to use Olajuwon, but Olajuwon's not European. He'd be international.
Right.
There's little literal definitions for that one. So that one's a little different. Not reading that text. What are the allegations and about who? Just Google Fox Sports or Joy Taylor.
Still awful announcing. They all have it.
They all have it. Yeah, your five was good. Best hot dog combination. Best hot dog topping combo. A New York dog, a Chicago dog, or a Texas chili cheese dog?
Texas chili cheese dog. I don't like all the peppers and stuff on the Chicago dog. What's the difference on a New York dog?
I don't know what's on a New York
dog. Yeah, they have those defined for me. But I know one of them has like a tomato slice on there, right?
That's the Chicago dog.
Hard pass on that.
The New York dog has an all-beef hot dog topped with sauerkraut and spicy brown mustard on a soft bun. I don't like brown mustard.
I don't like sauerkraut.
I should be for that. That sounds pretty good.
I like sauerkraut a lot. I don't like spicy brown mustard, though. Brown mustard's gross. I didn't think I was going to like a Chicago dog at all. Because, like, a lot of the toppings, like, don't really excite me. Like, you're looking at the poppy seed bun, sweet pickle relish, tomato slices, dill pickle spear, pickled sport peppers, celery salt. I actually really liked it. I didn't think I was gonna, and I really liked it.
Yeah, the peppers, I'm not a big fan of, and the tomato, I'm not. If you just give me chili and cheese on a hot dog, I'd love some onions on it, but it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say no to a Texas chili dog, but Chicago dog is actually underrated, and I did not think I was gonna like it, but I did. All the flavors pair well with each other. A traditional or boneless wing?
I know where you stand.
Traditional.
Yeah, I go boneless.
It's not
boneless
even a wing.
Isn't a wing. Boneless
I know
is a chicken
it's not.
Nugget.
I knew this is exactly what was going to happen, but I don't care.
Well, it sounds like you care a little.
No, I care about what I get more enjoyment eating like a boneless wing, I'll take it.
Do you eat for enjoyment or taste?
I will. The taste and the enjoyment are better for me in a boneless wing.
I'm not insulted by you. I'm insulted by the question. Traditional or boneless wing? That's an insulting question. A boneless wing is not a wing. It's a piece of chicken that's flavored like a wing. Drum or flat?
Drum. Jeremy and I've had this debate.
I like
a flat guy.
Yeah,
I'm a drum guy.
And I'm a drummy as well.
Yeah, flat's the only way to go. That's how I know you guys are casuals when it comes to wings.
And I am, and I admit that, and I don't care.
Sounds like you care a little bit.
No, I don't.
Sounds like you care a little bit.
Because I don't go to wings.
It sounds like you care about not caring. Fireworks or drone show? I feel like we need to step away from technology a little bit.
I feel drone show.
Drone
show
is really fireworks. Cool, like, to get all that coordinated and synced up and stuff.
I think drone show. It feels like, I mean, I know some people can do it bigger and better than others, especially when it's a large city or whatever, putting on the fireworks display. But for the most part, it feels like if you've seen one fireworks display, you've seen them all, at least in my opinion. So at least with the drone, it feels like the options are a little more unlimited. I'd go with the drone show.
You see that one drone show that, like, messed up, and they had the drones, like, chasing the audience?
No.
Yeah, it's... I feel like we're going a little too far with technology. A little bit too far.
Was that the one in New Jersey?
I don't remember. I don't even think it was in the country.
I'm saying, because the drones have been such a big deal.
There's a whole lot of conspiracy behind that deal.
Oh, yeah. Ask Aaron Rodgers.
That's not who I'm talking about.
I know, but there's a ton of drones. Everything about what's flying in the skies with drones in New Jersey.
Right, but I'm talking about that dude that was in Vegas that blew up the Tesla truck. There's like an email that he wrote and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Out of the three of y'all, who don't you see owning a Tesla?
I don't see any of us owning a Tesla.
Jeremy wants one.
I do. I listen. I feel like of people who listen to the show, they would probably pick me not to own a Tesla, but I would really enjoy a Tesla. I think I would like a Tesla a lot.
The truck or like just a regular Tesla?
The Tesla truck's not bad. I don't mind the Tesla truck.
It looks so stupid.
It looks like a Lego.
Yeah.
It's awful looking.
Okay. You guys don't have very good taste in Tesla trucks.
So I think it's pretty clear BMAC and I are
Tesla out. I'm 100% out.
I like the idea so I don't have to get gas. And it's not because I think it's like better energy, because I don't think it's better energy. I think it's alternative energy. But I like it for the laziness aspect. Like, I don't have to stop to get gas. That sounds awesome. Well, you got to recharge it. Well, I can recharge it at home. I'm not driving this thing long distance. I'm just driving it to and from work. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
I would do the Tahoe, the eco-friendly electric Tahoe before I would do the Tesla truck.
You do you, boo. From one ketchup man to another, how many ketchup packets do you have in your car for emergencies?
None.
Zero.
Zero. Because what happens if you misguided someone, something gets on it or hits it, and it goes all, every time, wherever you're stopping to get the food, you can get the ketchup.
Especially if you have kids. That's an accident waiting
to
happen.
I think it's fine. I don't have any ketchup packets in my car. This guy said he had 15. I do have backup plasticware, though. Like, I usually have a few forks, a few spoons in there in case, like, the place I go doesn't put it in the bag. Nope. I have napkins in there.
I do have napkins.
Napkins.
I've got a glove compartment full of napkins.
Yes.
But,
and then sometimes I have some salt in there, too. Sometimes
salt?
I have some salt.
Nope.
Yeah. Sometimes a little salt.
You pouring salt on your food while driving down the road?
Well,
you don't have to be driving at all times in your vehicle. You can put the salt before you leave the parking lot of wherever you picked up food.
And if the weather gets
bad, don't act brand new, Brian.
Throw some salt down.
Great the joke.
I don't even have the utensils.
It's gone downhill.
Well, I got, of course, and I have what you guys wouldn't have, which is dog poop bags, too.
No.
Let's go to break. 713-780-3776. What can a Amen Thompson do for this Rockets team? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join my Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.